Brilliant. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is such a blessing, such a privilege to be with you guys again. Thank you for having me all the way from Dan in London, as we say. Dan Ed, you know what I mean? Dan Sav. But it's all the way up north. I see, it's right good. Because especially as we're looking at food today. Did you hear that? What is Jesus? The bread of? I can't hear you. The bread of?
Life.
Fantastic. I was thinking about what that would be in Yorkshire. Would he be the Yorkshire pudding of life? Perhaps. Or the gravy of life? Apparently, Yorkshire food is defined by which there is nothing that you cannot have with gravy poured all over the top. Am I right? But someone else told me a definition of Yorkshire food is the fact that there is nothing in life that cannot be wrapped in pastry. So if Jesus is the pastry of life, hallelujah, the gravy of life. You know, the way that Jesus speaks in this way is the first of the I am statements about Jesus. He says that he is the bread of life. And I don't know about you, but I love that. Because bread was the staple food of that time. And he was saying how much he really wants to be that first source of life for you and me. Amen. Amen. And he declares himself and gives himself so that we can receive in that way. Apparently, one of the early drafts, early translations of the Chinese Bible had to use Jesus saying, I am the rice of life. Because bread wasn't really eaten in there. And I can testify to that. We used to live in Asia. We lived in Bangkok in Thailand as missionaries for 4 years. And my kids were very young at that time. My daughter was aged between 3 and 7. And when we moved back to the UK, she was so used to Asian food that we ate rice for literally breakfast, lunch and dinner. And she was looking around. And then one evening we had some rice in the UK. And she ate about 4 bowls full. It was like she thought, oh, brilliant. Here's some real food at last. She stuffed her face so much. It was hysterical. In fact, I think we got it on video, so I might be able to show you that afterwards. But it's amazing, this conversation that we've just heard read out for us is following two fantastic miracles. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000, which was probably more than 5,000. It may have even been 5,000 families. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that wonderful? It's also following another miracle, which is right next to that one, which is Jesus walking on the water. Jesus miraculously crossing from one side to the other. And the verses just before the ones we're looking at today is people figuring that out. They're looking at Jesus. And they're looking at where he was earlier, and they're looking at the boats, and they're saying, hold on, there's something not right here. Isn't that great? Again, I think that's quite Yorkshire. Hold on. There's something not right here. We've got to figure this out. I have to let you know, I have Yorkshire in my blood. Thank you. My mum is from Grimsby. But about 3 generations before that, her grandfather, I think, yeah, my great-grandfather, they moved to Grimsby from Sheffield, sorry about that. And they had a horse and a cart, and he sat on the back with his legs swinging, and they were heading off to fish out of the North Sea. So there we go. So I'm allowed to be as Yorkshire as I like. Thank you. I'll get my gravy later. And it's really brilliant, the fact that they are looking at Jesus, who has done this incredible feeding of the 5,000 miracle, and he's walked on the water. And they come to him and they say, we want to know how you got here. We want to know what's going on. And Jesus looks into their faces and realizes something really good. And I hope that it's something that's in your heart here, because I really believe the Lord wants to say this to you guys today. They say, do you know what? You're not seeking me simply because you liked the miracles. You're not seeking me simply because you like a God who can entertain you. I think you're seeking me because you ate that bread and because it got inside you. And I think you're seeking me today, and I think you and the Ark and believers of God in this city of York are seeking God because it's got inside you. Because there is something of this hope and this life that we find in Jesus that's got us inside. And Jesus is excited about that. Yeah? Jesus is looking at your life and my life, and he's excited. So I thought I would bring some bread. Is that all right? Is that okay? And there we go. I'm just going to pop it here. There's a bread there. In fact, it's a yesterday roll. I'm sorry about that. I didn't get a fresh one this morning. There's not a lot of shops open on a Sunday morning. So just having a look at that bread. It's kind of got inside them. It's got inside their lives. And they are asking, again, a question that's very important in these days. A question that you might have a lot, a discussion you might have a lot. They're asking about work. And they're saying, well, you know, Jesus, if you're telling us to work and be involved in your kingdom, in this kind of revolution of love that started to take root in our hearts and even in our bellies, what should we do about it? What is the work that we should do? And we're going to think about that and talk about that in a moment. Because the work that he speaks to them and it says, I want you to believe. I want you to be a people who believe. Now, is there anyone here who believes? Is there anyone here who believes in Jesus? Because that is not a side thing in our lives. Amen? Believing is not something that we should just have in our hands. It would be very weird to take bread each day, to buy it, and then to put it on the mantelpiece in your house and look at it, right? Does anyone do that in Yorkshire? I hope not. You wouldn't buy a loaf of bread like this one. It actually still smells good. Yeah. Can you smell it over there? You're hungry? Yeah. Even yesterday's bread, I'm up for it. But if you bought a loaf of bread and you just put it on a shelf and looked at it, you would be like someone who has a faith that is missing the point. You need to get it inside you. You need to get that life of the beauty of the kingdom of Jesus inside you. And that is why Jesus is so excited about these people. It's why he's so excited about you and me. It's because his kingdom, his life is starting to take root inside us. And they want to know what to do about it. Because it's not enough for us to just have a powerful God. Our God is powerful. Do we believe it?
Yeah.
But that's not enough. Too many people's understanding of God finishes with just him being powerful. But he's much more than powerful. He is compassionate. Amen.
Amen.
He is a God who looks upon this world and says, I'm not happy with suffering. I'm not happy with sickness. I'm not happy with sin and division and darkness and racism and ugliness in this world. I want to do something about it. We have a God who is both powerful and compassionate. Do we believe it, church? But it's not enough to just have a powerful, compassionate God. We need an active God as well, right? It's awful when someone says, oh, I feel so bad about the things going on in the world, and then they move on. They scroll on to the next message and the next storyline in their news website. I'm getting in your face, Yorkshire, for a minute, if that's all right. Because we don't have a God who just looks down and feels bad about his creation, right? We have a God who steps down into his creation to save it. Amen?
Amen.
We have a God who is so active in his compassion that he gives himself to become one of us and die for us on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? Even that is not enough. Because we believe in a God who is coming again.
Yes.
Amen? And I think one of the massive reasons why this group of people get back into Jesus' face, like I'm getting in your face right now, is to say that we want that new Exodus to be completed. Look at that as it's written in verse 31. They say, our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness, which is a bit like the bread that you just did that madness with those 5,000 families. It feels like us being a new Exodus. And we know it's true. We know it's real because we ate it and it tasted good. And we got 12 baskets left over afterwards. Did they have fish in as well? I don't know. We'll have to check that with Jesus when he comes again, because that could have got quite smelly quite fast. But amazingly, they realize and they speak and they say, do you know what, Jesus? We recognize that the hope for all the world is found in you. We recognize that this world is desperately crying out for a new kingdom. A kingdom that is defined by righteousness, peace, and joy. So Jesus answers them when they're asking about their working life. Think about that storm for a minute. Those were fishermen. They were used to that sea. They were used to those boats. They were used to storms. But suddenly Jesus is walking on that water and calming that storm. And they must have been thinking, what does this mean for our working lives? This is nuts. Think about my great-great-grandfather. No, hold on. That's too many greats. Great-grandfather. What would it mean to suddenly have God with him in the boat in the North Sea? In Grimsby. It's not very grim there. It's actually lovely. You should take a trip. It's next to Cleethorpes. There's a little train that goes up and down. It's brilliant. But what does it mean for us to have a God who is with us in our everyday lives, right? People talk about work a lot these days. Unemployment swings up and down, doesn't it? What does it mean to work? What does it really mean? And what these two miracles are showing us is the fact that the way that we see our lives, whether we're working or not, whether you're full-time, part-time, whether you're training, whether you're looking for a job, or whether you've retired, in all of it, we too often see it as a little closed circle. Am I right? So often we get our heads down and work really hard, right? Something I get laughed about all the time. I am a bit of a workaholic. Sometimes I work a bit too hard and people are like, Henry, you need to learn to relax. But it's true, we can get stuck in a circle, can't we? And our lives can get smaller and smaller and we're thinking, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to work to get food. And then I'm eating food so I've got enough strength to go back to work, to then earn some money, to then buy some more food, so that then I've got enough strength to go back to work, to earn some money, to buy some more food that then I can eat, and then I go back. Do you see the circle? Yeah, it started to get boring very quickly, didn't it? But what Jesus speaks into our lives is, however big or small, however significant or insignificant your work life might be, if you do it believing in Jesus, then it starts to be something wonderful. The Lord Jesus is desperate to come into those circles of life that the human race lives in and say, I want to bring my bread of life. Amen. I want to bring my blessing. I want to bring my love. One of those times when we were working in Thailand, we had a very local house on a very local street in Bangkok there in the north of the city. And there was a woman who worked as a chef. She worked as a cook. Very normal job, a very hidden job. People never saw her that much. And she needed to go down to the market to get the food like she did every day. It was about 6 a.m. And she jumped on what we call a motorbike taxi. Do you have those in Yorkshire? It was great fun. You guys know I'm talking about, Jude. Yeah. Is that your new business? Yeah. And she jumped on the back of the motorbike taxi to go 5 minutes down the road to the market to buy vegetables for cooking for that day, like she always did. But she was a believer in Jesus, a new one. She started to talk to the motorbike taxi driver. Do you know what? I've become a Christian. I love Jesus. Do you know what? I've found that there's a hope in my life. Even though I'm doing the same thing I've always done, I'm going to the market and I'm going to buy vegetables and I'm going to cook them and I'm going to serve them and sell them. And that's my life. But no, there was suddenly a new food that was in her day. And she began to share it with this motorbike taxi driver. Her name was Mem, and the guy she was talking to is called Oh. It's a tonal language, so you have to go, Oh, like that. You want to try it with like a valley. Oh, very good. If you ever meet him, that's how you need to say it. But Oh was so impacted by the gospel of Jesus that he was hearing from her. It was like he was beginning to feed on the bread of life with her. And by the end of the motorbike taxi journey, he thought, I need to find out more. And before we knew it, he was knocking on our front door that morning and saying, I've just had a conversation with Mem about Jesus. I've realized that this bread of life is for me as well. Can you pray for me? I'd like to become a Christian today. That's good news. You know, for anyone who believes in Jesus and starts to carry that goodness of his love, the circle doesn't become just a circle anymore. It starts to become a journey with Jesus. Now, is that good news? You know, if you start to have that bread of life, not just do you take his life into yourself. Not just is his life becoming part of your life, but you are becoming a part of his. And the Lord says to you and to me, I want to invite you in. And you may already know this. Can anyone tell me how many big miracles there are in the Gospel of John? Can anyone tell me? It's a very biblical number. It's not a trick. It's seven. Well, give them a clap, everyone. Well done. It is seven. I gave you a clue there. We've got two of them just here, right? Can you remember what they are? Feeding of the... And walking on the... Fantastic. Those are two of them. Yeah, there's another... That's in another gospel. But yeah, I like that one. Those two are together. In fact, what I would like to do, if you don't mind, is take those seven miracles, because two of them are in pairs, and put them in five. Can everyone give me five fingers in Yorkshire? A little bit higher, everyone. Five fingers. Brilliant. That's great. Yep, they're all the same. Yep, good. Okay, yeah, you got one there. Oh, yeah, one's a thumb. All right. Typical. Because actually, not only does Jesus want to break in on our lives in that working place, but he wants to speak more things in our lives as well. In fact, of these miracles, number one is a really good one. Does anyone know what the first miracle is? It's turning the water into wine. And you know what? I decided to bring you a little bowl. I don't know if I can give this to Pastor Steve later, but I think I will. But isn't that good? In fact, could you hold this for us? Let's give her a round of applause. Here we go. All right. Now, whenever I mention it, I need you to lift it up high. Is that okay? Brilliant. Because that bread of life that Jesus is, he is sharing with us and demonstrating something to us. But actually, with our God and with our lives that we share together, check the person next to you. Are you alive today? Are you alive today? Everyone's alive? Fantastic. Because Jesus wants to speak into all of our lives. Within those seven miracles, two of them are in pairs, which is what makes five. Give me five fingers again, everyone. You've got a lot to do today, a lot of responsibilities. Thank you. The Lord Jesus actually wants to speak deeply into all of our lives. And that first one, that water into wine, hold it up for us. Oh, wow. Brilliant. Can anyone tell me what kind of event was that at?
Wedding.
A wedding. Very good. That first miracle is so fantastic. The water turned into wine was described as, oh, geez, I love it. Brilliant. It's like a buzzer in a quiz game, isn't it? The water that's turned into wine made everyone celebrate because it was great wine. Yeah. And I made sure that bottle of wine there, that was, yeah, in that little bottle there, that was the best wine I could find in Co-op yesterday. That's the best one. Yeah. Wow, you're very good at that. And I want to suggest that for you and for me and for the human race to come into that fullness of the kingdom of Jesus, we need to realize that he blesses us with the best. When he blesses that wedding, he is saying something about the human story, which is so powerful. He is taking that marriage, that wedding, which was no doubt going to go on to become a family and for lives to be born into. And he's saying, before this family even gets started, I want to bless them with the best. I want to bless them with the best. And I want every life to receive that prophetic message. In the same way as this middle one, where we hear about our working lives being blessed by God, he wants to say right at the origin of our lives that we can receive his love. So the number one, everyone give me one finger. The Lord Jesus wants to say to you and to me that we belong in his very best. You know, there are too many people in these days looking at their lives, looking at their story, and I'm getting in your face again for a moment, Yorkshire, if that's all right. Looking back at their lives, looking at their story, their history, their family, their ancestors, and picking out the things that are wrong. And a lot of people are looking at it and feeling that there are implications, there is pain, there are things that I'm struggling with because of the stuff that happened generations before. And do you know what? What Jesus does for you and does for me is said, I want to renew it. I want to make it the best. Lift it up a little bit higher for me. Thank you. I want to make it the best. The new identity that we have in Christ is the best. It's not just dirty water. Even for those who are totally broken, thank you. Even for those who are totally, in a sense, heartbroken about the things that they may find in the past, when we receive Jesus by the power of his blood, shown in the wine that we drank earlier in our communion, in the wine, thank you, you're still doing it. The Lord says that new identity for you and for me is the very best. And you know, sometimes it takes time. Allowing him to transform things that maybe have come from previous generations that look like dirty water. The Lord says, I want to give my very best. It's in his blood. And it can be in our blood. It can be our identity, our very lives. The Lord Jesus is powerfully and wonderfully at work. The Lord Jesus redeems and restores. The Lord Jesus transforms and turns us around. You know, there are so many people in these days. There was someone who arrived at church last week in one of our congregations in Ichthys in London. And you know, the Lord had compelled her to come to church. He almost impressed it on her heart. She literally lived around the corner and she walked through the door and she said, I don't know why I'm here. I just feel like something's dragged me through the door. And they said, well, we think that's probably got something to do with Jesus. She literally said, who's Jesus? I have no idea. But God has brought me here. This woman, as she heard people sharing about Jesus and they were sharing in bread and wine like we've done this morning, she began to weep. She began to weep. She was like, I don't know why I'm weeping. What's that red stuff in the glasses? Literally nothing of the gospel was anywhere in her story. But yet, Jesus immediately began to become part of her story. Isn't that amazing? How powerful is the blood of Jesus? Lift it up for us one more time. Hallelujah. I want that powerful love of Jesus to define me. Amen. You know, this woman was amazingly being touched and changed and transformed. That was the beginning of her journey. But I want to encourage you, if it feels like there's any dirty water in that story for you, I encourage you, let's pray together today to see that transform and change. Amen. Amen. So that was number one. Have you got a number one for me, everyone? Now, two and three are together, all right? Miracles two and three, but we're just going to call them number two. So just give me two fingers up there. There we go. It's like a peace sign. And these two miracles are together. Hold on, I've got my visual aid hiding in here. I think you're going to help me with this one. Can you hold that one for me? There we go. It's like the wine, same kind of color. Give her a round of applause for the lollipop. There we go. These are two miracles that happen together. There is the healing of someone's son. This dad comes up to Jesus and says, my son is sick. You have to come and heal him. He's going to die. If you don't come, my son is going to die before me. This dad is pleading with Jesus, and Jesus says, listen, I don't even need to be there. I'll speak the word now, and he's going to be healed. Immediately after that miracle, there's a follow-up miracle, and they're around this pool of water, and there's a man who's been there, unable to walk for 38 years. And he speaks to Jesus and he says, I can't get healed. Once a year, this water stirs up for healing and no one puts me in. People jump past me. And it's almost like his whole adult life has been defined by the fact of not being able to get there. And Jesus heals both those people. Can you say hallelujah? But again, we're not just the people who want miracles for the sake of miracles. Amen. We don't believe in a God who just makes our lives a little bit better. Those two miracles, which are number two in our set of five, they are a sign for you and me. That not only, can I have my wine back one more second? Not only does the Lord say that you are the best, you live in the best, beautiful, most wonderful source of life that he has, but even as little kids, you're still holding up your lollipop. I love it. Give her a round of applause. Here she is. Wave it up a little bit higher. The Lord says to you and me through those miracles, the healing of the little boy at a distance, the healing of a man at the other end of his life who's almost lost that childhood, boyhood. The Lord Jesus says to every single one of us, I want to renew what it is to be a child in my kingdom. Amen. I want to renew what it is to be a child in my kingdom. You know, if you want to enter the kingdom of Jesus, who have you got to be like? A child. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're a big kid. You're a big kid for Jesus. You know, the Lord wants to do that for every single one of us. And I want to suggest that these two miracles are powerfully there to demonstrate to you and me that the Lord redeems that childlike heart within each one of us. Amen. You know, too many of us, maybe it's a London thing, maybe it's a Yorkshire thing, maybe it's an everyone thing. We get hardened, right? We get hardened, don't we? We get tough. Sometimes when we meet tough people, we're impressed by them because of their toughness. And Christians do need to have a toughness to some degree. We need to grow in that strength in the Lord. But we need a childlike softness as well. Amen? Amen. Christians need to know what it is to say, I have no idea what the answer is. We need to grow in that humility that says, I have no idea how we're going to fix this problem. But my dad does. And he's in heaven and he loves me. And the Lord Jesus, not only does he want to renew us right at the beginning. Thank you. You're going to have a sore arm tomorrow, aren't you? But he wants to renew that childlike lollipop. You can lift it up one more time. There we go. Okay. You can rest your arm now. Thank you very much. You know, the Lord wants to renew all those parts of that journey. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Libby, you better hold the bread again. This was number three. Can you just lift that up high? Can you see how the Lord ministers so beautifully into our lives? When we realize that our lives are not just a circle of trying to get through the day. When we realize that our story on its own doesn't make sense. And we start to bring ourselves into the story of God in Christ, stuff becomes really wonderful. We realize right at the beginning that God blesses us. You were ready for that. We realize that we want to be children for the Lord. We realize that we want to work for the Lord. Wow, you guys are like a dance. Can you see how beautiful it is to live under the kingship of Jesus? Amen. You know, and for too many people's Christian lives, they get caught on just one of these things. So many people love to tell the story of their lives that I used to be in a mess and now I'm saved. I love it when people share that story. But I always want to say to them, do you know what? Let the Lord Jesus in to minister his grace and his kindness. Don't remain as someone who is still carrying hurt from the past. Allow the Lord to minister deep healing. Allow the Lord to minister that healing so you can be childlike. Allow the Lord to bless you in your work life so that you can live for him. You know, there is no part of our lives that is left out of that revolution of Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Lord does it so, so beautifully. Even after this first miracle, this wedding miracle, the Lord Jesus sits at the well with the woman and ministers to her, even though she's had many different partners, many different husbands. And the Lord ministers healing and blessing into her life. Is that good news?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we've had three of those. Can you give me four fingers, everyone? I have numbers four and five in here. In fact, this one is a little bit gross. Because that miracle is the one where there is a man whose eye... Don't worry, it's only plasticine. In fact, I think it might be Play-Doh. Do you have Play-Doh up here?
Yeah.
My 13-year-old... I used to love Play-Doh when I was a kid. And you see, it's quite squidgy. Would anyone like to hold it? No. Thank you, Jude. Well done. Don't worry, it's clean. But there's a man who has been born blind, all right? Can I say that again? There's a man who was born blind. And what Jesus does is he spits in the muck, turns it into clay, and then if you could just take your glasses off, Jude. Oh, no, not really. He rubs that clay into the man's eyes, and his eyes are healed. Please don't do it, Jude. No. Otherwise, we'll have someone else sit down and any today. But that man's eyes are healed. Now say hallelujah for me. But before that healing, there is a conversation. And people look at that man who's blind and they say, Jesus, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents?
This is the most stupid question.
It is the most stupid question in the Bible, I know. Too right. How could he sin before he was born, number one? And actually, amazingly, in the conversation after he's been healed, after that, they bring his parents forward and there is a conversation with the parents. Can you imagine being those parents in that moment, right? There is a man who has been blind, who has been begging and has been suffering in that way. And the whole legacy of their lives is being questioned. Everyone is speaking to them, questioning them, saying, you clearly got something wrong because of the mess that your child is in. Now, that's horrendous, isn't it? That is so far away from the heart of God. But what does Jesus do? Lift up the clay for us, Jude. It's so sticky. It's on his finger. I love it. The Lord Jesus does something amazing in that moment. And again, I'm not saying that it's a miracle just for the sake of a miracle. I'm not saying that we just need to trust in God for the miracles. But that miracle, thank you, Jude. That miracle is a sign for us that the Lord Jesus even wants to get into the legacy of our lives. The Lord Jesus wants to bless and honor and encourage the legacy of our lives. Amen. You know, if you have children or not, that doesn't mean that you're better or worse in the kingdom of God. Amen. If you're married or not, that doesn't mean you're complete or incomplete. Jesus was never married. Jesus never had children of his own, but he was the ultimate fulfillment of what it means to be human. Amen. You know, the legacy of our lives needs to be that we bring about an end to the stupidity of those lies. Amen. Amen. There are too many of us who look at lives, and you know, I blame Disney movies for this, who say, you know, the ultimate happiness is to get on the back of the horse of Prince Charming and ride off into the sunset. And the Lord wants to say, let's put those things down in Jesus' name. The Lord wants to say the story of your life is not defined by whether you have success or not. The story of your life goes like this, that you are loved. That you are created out of the best love, which is a Father in heaven. That you are his child, not just until you're 18, but forever. That every bit of work you do can honor him. Look at that. You guys are really synchronized here. Whether you work in a job that everyone knows or no one knows, the Lord is with you. And you have a legacy that belongs to him. Amen? Amen. Even if the legacy is messy and gross and you're going to need to wash your hands after it, the Lord is with you. We've covered a lot of miracles there. But I had one more. Do you remember it? Can anyone tell me which one it is? Anyone got it? It's the raising of Lazarus. Give him a round of applause. Very good. Very good. What? Do you know what I love most about the raising of... In here, I've got a very small dead body. Only in Yorkshire would you ask that. In fact... Sadly, this is not a very small dead body wrapped up either. This is a bandage. What I love about the resurrection of Lazarus is that when he comes out of the tomb, he's still all bound up. Isn't that brilliant? Yeah, you need to hold this one for me. There we go. Thank you very much. He's still got all those wrappings around his life. I think he probably had them literally around his head. And he's like, clambering out like a mummy, right? And they say, well, Jesus says directly to them, unwrap him. Unwrap him in Jesus' name. Well, he doesn't say in Jesus' name because he is Jesus. He just has to say unwrap him. We have to say in Jesus' name. And can you see the completeness of that journey? Isn't that amazing? right from before you're even born. Thank you. Right up to when you're almost dead. Oh, wow, that was beautifully done. Well done. Almost like a dance. From first breath to final breath in this world, let's not have lives that just exist in the trappings of the human race. Amen. Let's have lives that are part of the great story of Jesus, part of his great exodus, his great journey, his great movement of freedom. The Lord Jesus is so beautiful. Isn't it amazing that in that moment when Lazarus has already died, has already been wrapped up in all that bandage business, thank you very much, and he's already been laid in the tomb and they've already covered up that tomb with a stone, Jesus meets Lazarus's sisters and he weeps. Shortest verse in our Bibles, Jesus wept. Why on earth is Jesus weeping? He's about to resurrect this man. He's about to call Lazarus out of the tomb, but he's weeping because he weeps with you and me. Amen. The miracle, in fact, all the seven miracles that we're waving around today is not the most important thing. The most important thing is Jesus himself. Jesus who says, just as he said, I am the bread of life. Libby, you missed your cue. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he speaks to us right through that whole journey of our existence that he is the Lord, that he is the King who is coming again, that he is the hope for all creation. He is the hope for every one of our lives. Amen. Amen. He is the hope for London and for the People's Democratic Republic of Yorkshire. The Lord is with you. It's a great county, isn't it? You've got everything here. God's own county. But the Lord breathes his blessing into us. Amen. Such that we can be his people right across this nation, right across this world. We exist under that headship of Christ. I'm going to ask all five of you to lift up your miracle stuff for a moment. I don't know which one troubles you the most out of these. Which one is worrying you?
That one.
That one. That one.
It might be the genuine thing.
It actually is, yeah. It's the best.
Don't give it to the pastor.
No. You don't get this much interaction outside of Yorkshire, just so you know.
All outside these four walls.
All outside these four walls. But you know, too many of us are living under some of the burdens of these things, right? There's too many people in this world worried about work, worried about death, worried about their families, worried about their inner being, worried about the things that are past or the things that are ahead. But my friends, I want to encourage you today, bring your story into that story of Christ. Bring your journey into the journey of Christ. N.T. Wright puts this wonderfully, that it's almost like too many believers are still living as if the sun goes round the world. As if the world is in the middle and the sun goes round it. There's been a few scientific discoveries that have realized that it's the other way around. That the sun is in the middle, Jesus. And we start to move in his orbit. I love that. Because it's so easy for us to think that we have to try and work it out for ourselves. That we're at the middle. But actually, if we look to these five wonderful signs, you can put your hands down now if you like. If we look to these five beautiful miracles, in fact, there are seven of them because two of them were pairs. It's that Jesus, with his beautiful kingdom, invites us to be part of it. Amen. Going to just invite the worship team back up, if that's okay, to just lead us in a final song. That beautiful party with Jesus, that beautiful journey, the joy and the delight comes from that surrender with him. Comes from that place of saying, Lord, I don't need to find my own way because I'm following you. I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, for anyone carrying heaviness from the past. As we think about this wine that you brought out of dirty water, Lord, we just say yes to that for our lives, Lord Jesus. We say, Lord, yes to you. Lord, turning that which is ordinary into something extraordinary. In Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord. You've saved us with your very best. You've saved us with the precious blood of Jesus. If there's a word for you in there, just want to encourage, if there's anyone carrying any of that heaviness from their history or from their childhood, just feel free to raise a hand. I want to pray over you. Don't be afraid. Just lift your hand if there's anything you're carrying for that. Lord Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I want to pray for these hands raised here. Things of sorrow from the past, Lord, we want to thank you that you bring about, Lord Jesus, joy instead of mourning, rejoicing instead of sorrow. Yes, Lord, amen. I want to pray, Lord, you would restore a childlike faith, Lord, within us, to be able to laugh with our Father in heaven, to delight and to celebrate with you. I want to pray for anyone carrying worries, Lord, about their life, their families, their current affairs, Lord, whether it's family or work or anything, Lord Jesus. So we just pray now, Lord Jesus, that you would take your authority in those places in Jesus' name. I want to pray for any negative or difficult workplaces that people are existing in. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, the power of your presence within those, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your presence go with us, Lord, into difficult places, or just as you walked on that sea with those fishermen, right in the midst of their workplace, right in the boat with them. We say, Lord, come and walk on the waters with us, in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come, Lord. And Lord, I really want to pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, for anyone here who's still kind of wrapped in those bandages like Lazarus, who needs to be unbound. Just with our eyes closed here, if there is any fear or heaviness upon your life in this place today, just feel free to raise your hand now. If there's anything that is kind of wrapping around you, leaving you in any of this, any sense of fear, just please lift your hand. I want to pray. Jesus, Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you would break off the heaviness of fear in Jesus' name. Lord, the trappings and the wrappings of death in this world, Lord, we want to get rid of them all and live in the true beauty of your freedom. Lord, we say, Lord Jesus, you are the healer. You are the savior. You are the deliverer. You are the resurrection and the life. And we love you. We say, Lord, in our lives, through our lives, let your kingdom come and let your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, use that.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.